This episode of the Off Course Podcast is sponsored by UST Mamiya. Their graphite shaft offerings are represented by the word quality, performance, and feel, which I believe is an excellent way to describe their lineup. Whether you are familiar with their early staples like the Pro Force and Gold Series, their recoil iron shafts, or you're like me and currently exploring their Link offering, they're bound to have an option that suits your game and style. Visit www.ustmamiya.com to learn more.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the original Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is my good buddy, the little rat, Jose Miraflor. He is Vice President of Marketing and Product Architecture over there at Cobra Golf. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I am not living the dream here. It's February. It's Ohio. You've already chuckled at me in the pregame warm-up. You are not having perfect weather. However, I've heard it's pretty standard fare California living.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone, for rubbing it in, but it's been pretty nice here. Last week, we had the Cobra Puma Pro-Am up at Pebble Beach. And you cannot blame the weather or the course conditions for bad play because, you know, in all the times I've ever been up at Monterey, whether it's working in the event or being there to play golf, this is the best weather I've ever seen. And California up and down the coast, except for a couple of days this week of rain, has not had, like they said at Pebble, they hadn't had rain this entire year. And wow. When we left on Sunday, it was a little overcast. But it wasn't going to rain. So, I mean, talk about some good weather. But, hey, just so we're on the same page, unlike you in Ohio, we pay our sun tax. We have to pay for it. And it's the cost of living.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty good. So California, the West Coast swing, it's a good time to be a fan of golf when you like evening watching here in Ohio. Because obviously East Coast to West Coast. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preferred tournament over there? I mean, obviously you get the big boys at Pebble, at Riv, and at Torrey. Yeah. Is there one that stands out for you?
Well, I mean, Torrey is always fun because it's our backyard, and we all have played Torrey. We all know how hard it can play. And, you know, leading up to the event, you know, 3 months out, they're starting to cut the grass longer and starting to let the fairways kind of get skinnier. So that's a fun one to go watch and walk because you know what they're up for, and it's incredible how far they hit it and how strong they are. But actually, you know, if you've ever played Riviera, I've got only to play it once, but I can see why it's one of the favorite courses of all the tournaments in the year by the players. But it's incredible to see them rip it up this year. I mean, this Joaquin Neiman guy.
Holy cow, yeah.
My goodness, how good that kid is. I remember seeing him as a young amateur on TV saying this kid is weighs nothing and hits it a country mile, and here he is playing the best he can be right now, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I've been to Torrey, but not fully walked the golf course. Any truth to the rumor the rain should be longer there?
There is truth to that rumor. Some people got a talking to about how far their golf balls go and how cars are. There was actually a broken window on a car. So,
wow. Yeah, I think Riv is interesting because visually it definitely stands out on TV. You get it's hard to really measure the views that you get at a place like Pebble or just the overall experience you have at Torrey. But Riviera stands out because they have the super unique trees and the holes like number 1 and 10, which are just visually wild to look at, especially on TV.
Yeah, and, you know, 18 doesn't get the how uphill it is.
Yeah.
And into the wind it can play. And to see these guys hitting, you know, 175 out pitching wedge.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know, and I grew up in LA, so watching that event and always remembering what players hit in, but today how far everybody hits their driver, of course, but even their irons go super long, and it's just fun to watch, but they are tearing up the golf courses, aren't they?
Well, let's talk about you a little bit. I mean, you're no slouch to good golf. How's the body holding up? Are you feeling good?
You know, I'm fighting it. I'm being told I need hip replacement. And I'm saying you're crazy. Okay. I don't want to miss golf for 6 months. Yeah. So, you know, I walked this last week, and you know, it hurts to walk like 36 if you do it. But
36 there.
For that second 18, I might take a little cart here and there just to help out. But that's about the most of my injuries is my hip, which, as you know, hip rotation and being able to get in those positions through impact are difficult. But that being said, you know, I hit the ball decent for me for an old fart who can barely get it around. You know, I need like 6 strokes from you, Dan, aside. So
we're already building it up. You're talking about this 6 months of lost golf. All you got to do is move to Ohio, man. That's they do it for you here. It's called the off season. It's perfect timing. Yeah,
this is true. You know, and that is a good timing, you know, but for us, I mean, imagine me trying to do that in October and missing if there would be a PGA show and the January stuff. So literally for me, it seems like it would be a summer through winter thing, but then Morgan Cup, who's going to miss that? I'm not going to miss that.
Man, I'll tell you what, you guys, you did it in Vegas for a couple years. It went what seems to be great, super fun to follow on the THP forums, but you've got a new spot this year. I'm going to ask you a question because we were going to build into the Morgan Cup, but you're so excited to talk about it. Let's just get to it now. Hag Point was the premier experience in my perspective from a Morgan Cup. That was wild. We took a ferry out. We got our own houses. We played an absolutely punishing golf course that was spectacular to look at. I beat you, most specifically. You're welcome, Yags.
You didn't beat me.
And that was that.
Your team beat our team. Yeah. Let's be careful how we choose our words here. There's too much pride on this podcast. We didn't get a chance to play. We should.
That'd be a lot of fun. But let's talk about location because it's new this year. You guys are going to a new spot. Are you excited to get down there? Have you played there before?
I've never played there, and I've heard nothing but the most awesome things about Old Waverly and Mossy Oak, right? I've never been there. I can't wait to go. I'm trying to figure out how far away it is. I know the teams are getting put together and equipment stuff is the big thing now, but man, I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. And you're right. Hag Point for me, of all the Morgan Cups we played in, and there was a couple before that weren't Morgan Cups, you know, Hag Point was the experience to go to. No slouch. I mean, Vegas and all the other ones are no slouches. I mean, but Hag Point was pretty cool.
Yeah. We won't talk about the little crime scene that happened at Hag, but you know, some of us obviously remember it more fondly than others. That's pretty much all I'll say about that. But how is the rivalry going? You and Yags, Mike Yagley over there. Is it getting saltier as you guys age like a fine wine?
I say it's less contentious now that we're, you know, kind of we're tied, right?
And
it was bad when Yagley would send me the license plates 3-1 or 2-1 and loser rat and do all his jokes, you know, and I had to take it like a man. But now, you know, he's piped down a lot because he knows that, you know, the teams are pretty equal and we have, you know, a good chance of going ahead this year. And so, it's in the office place. We kind of keep it neutral, but you know, as we get closer to the event, it starts to get a little more quiet and the grinding starts to happen and all that stuff. So
you said a good chance. I hope Mike is paying close attention to these words because he's got loads of time while you're off on hip replacement surgery to improve his game to a level you couldn't possibly fathom. So that's great for us. And by us, I mean, Team Hackers. tell me about what's in the bag for you this year. Are you all new product? The last time we sat down and talked in California, you're doing some pretty cool stuff with some protos in the bag, messing around with some grinds, you know, obviously talking in a way that would make any golfer jealous. So where are we at now?
Well, as you can imagine, LTDX has made it into my bag. It was actually in my bag when we played the Morgan Cup. I had to take it out of the bag for the week, unbeknownst to all of you. So if you were to look at my driver right now, it looks like it's a season old. you know, the dropkick practice swings, all the stuff, the marks on the face. It's because I had it in place since last August. And I finally can tell everybody how awesome it is. I mean, I remember the sales meeting, I put it in play. We went out and played La Costa, and I, you know, I'm a member there, so I know where my ball typically goes. I saw places that I'd never seen before with this LTDX driver. All I did was take it and put it onto my shaft. And I saw immediate launch. So, you know, ball speed went up about 2.5 miles per hour instantly. I had a degree up in launch and I kept my spin at 2000. So it was going appreciably farther. And because I felt like it was a better setup for me, now I can really go at it. Maybe I'm also healing a little bit too, but I can go at it. And I'm seeing some distance gains that I really love. So the X is in play for me. That was a no-brainer. You know, that was my dream driver that I've been dreaming about since 2016, right? Telling people a zero CGNA driver with the forgiveness of like an XB, a Rad XB. And we made it come true a lot faster than I thought. So I credit the team for this brand new chassis that they created to help give us more weight savings to deliver forgiveness and this forward CG, because that's something you don't get in golf, right? You either get forward CG or you get forgiving. You don't get both. So got really fortunate, and here we are with that driver. So that's in. I have the matching fairway, LTDX fairway, which, you know, makes sense. Typically your driver and fairway will be really close. For me, getting that little white ball off the ground with the lowest lofted club, I knew it'd be an X. Some of you guys are like, you, Dan, are probably strong enough. You're going to want to play the LS, but I'm in the X fairway. I use a 3 and 4 Forge Tech hybrid, which I had in play at the Morgan Cup this year. And then I have some prototype irons you want me to name, but I won't. They're coming out here in a couple months, but there are some forgings that are in play. They're hollow, and they're, I don't know, technical term, badass. You know, they look awesome and they feel awesome. And then, of course, my little rat grinds on my wedges. And then I have a prototype putter in play, too, that will be coming out in a month and a half or two.
I love it. And you guys were in the THP Tech studio not too long ago, hitting some taped up irons, which was pretty funny to see people score them. I mean, obviously, the video can only get so big and all you're going to see is a piece of tape. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm super excited to see what's coming for you guys. We did a video recently in the tech studio for LTDX irons, which are nothing short of spectacular from a performance perspective. I've been, actually, it was at our Hag Point Morgan Cup quite a few years ago. I put an F9 in play in the 4-iron slot. And it was back when Ricky did it. You got a picture of Ricky behind you there.
Yeah.
It was back when Ricky put it in for the waste management. And I thought, I mean, if Ricky can do it, so can I. And I did. And it turned out to be an unbelievably positive move for me in that position, which, you know, most of the time you don't really consider it. And then
how far do you hit that club, Dan? How far did you hit that baby?
That one, I think I covered about 230 or 240.
Yeah, that's the Ricky distance. This is 235 club.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've played golf with you a few times and I know how much speed you have. I officially can tell you that you're cheating. It's not fair that somebody with your speed should have those strong lofts and that kind of lift. So from the rest of us, stop it. Play a 14, a weak loft like you should.
I don't. But but let's talk about LTDX, because I had the 7-iron, I believe, in play, putting insane ball speeds. I think I got it upwards when I was really challenging to about 139 mile an hour, which for me is massive. But what was most telling was I had the pin at 200 yards, and of 6 shots, I hit 4 on the green from that number with that speed. And it's like, you know, we're at a place now, I feel like, where the gap is closing so aggressively between forgiveness and performance that golfers need to really do a better job of seeing what's viable for their game, especially when you get to those further distances away. Do you think that is a pretty telling component of what you guys are accomplishing at Cobra and just in this style of iron in general?
Yeah, I mean, the iron's supposed to be a distance game improvement iron. And I think we're delivering on both. You know, it is pretty forgiving. You know, you hit it heel and toe and up and down. And it's definitely delivering distance. I mean, let's face it. It's a 26 and a half degree seven iron, right? And that's strong. And it's going to go far. But you know, the onus is on us as OEMs to create an iron that not just goes far, because you still need to stop it on the green. Right. So it has to fly high and have a decent descending angle and a decent amount of spin. It isn't for everybody. I was going to say we should put the small script on the bottom of this. results may vary, you know, distances for different people would be different. You know, there's a bunch of guys here at the office that like to use that. I mean, you know, Master Yagley would use it. He was using the SZs, and when he got to, I think, rad speed, they just became a little too strong for him to hit in the air. So he went to a more traditional lofted, because I think, guys, what we need to be careful of is making sure that the ball flies at a trajectory that serves you. Because imagine your misses. The misses get to be a little bit low spin, and if these irons don't carry enough, you're going to hit a lot of bunkers, right?
Yeah.
Or water hazards. So you want to make sure you have an ample amount of spin lift on your choice of irons, such that, you know, your bag looks good. For that matter, that's why in my set, I think you guys have seen it in previous Morgan Cups, I do a mixed set. I may do a player's distance iron from my seven through my pitch so I can have the offsets and feel that I'm looking for. But on my six and five, before I get to a hybrid, I transition into an LTD-like X iron. In this case, it's a partner iron to the prototype forging that I'm using. I think you guys have all seen it on the hot list if you guys pay attention to that magazine. But all I did was take my six iron and I made it a degree weaker, and now I have perfect gaps between my seven, six, and five, which, you know, is super important. Most people at 25 degrees, their gaps get real tight. There's only 7 yards between clubs, 6 yards. Your goal is to get 10 to 13 yards between clubs if you can. And that's going to lead you to better yardages and gapping and play in those longer clubs like you're talking about.
A couple of years ago, I was introduced to the UST Mamiya Link Shaft and the gunmetal finish, and the performance was pretty awesome. Their Q comes from their Q fiber technology, which they've actually carried over into their new offering, the Link M40X. I could talk all about fiber strength and tensile modulus to represent what M40X is, but in terms we can actually understand, it's about taking away that boardy feel and delivering increased energy into the golf ball. UST Mamiya brings Link M40X to the table with three launch and finish offerings: black for low launch, blue for mid launch, and red for mid-high launch. For more information on the Link Shaft and all their graphite offerings, visit www.ustmamiya.com. Yeah, so one thing you mentioned is just basic launch characteristics and what works for players. And the common complaint, and I'm not going to go all jacked loft on it here, but I'm going to, because that's what it is. It's a very strong lofted seven. My experience, and I'm not exactly a low ball hitter, with the stock shaft in there, I was getting a launch of 18 degrees of the seven iron and peaking well over 40 yards, which is, you know, very much expected for my numbers,
right?
Regardless of the type of club. And I think people, you know, I remember back in the day, one of the biggest club experiences I had with strong lofted when we started that progression was, I always go back to the Burner 2.0s from TaylorMade. And those things did a lot of things right with a couple things really wrong, but we're so far departed from that style of club with the technology that's in there. And I'm hoping you can speak a little bit to that loft concept. And there's a lot more that goes on than just loft, right? You're creating a club that launches in a certain way that requires that additional loft to get to that window. Is that correct?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, anybody can make a club stronger and you're going to get more speed, right? And speed is the primary thing for distance, right? And then, of course, there's launch and then there's spin. To maximize your driver, you want as low spin as you can, right around 2000. But in your irons, you don't necessarily want that, because you don't want your irons to roll out the way your driver does, right? You want your irons to stop on the green. So we talk about 40 yards peak height, or 45 and 45 degree 45 degree peak angles and descending angles. And that's all important. So yes, we make the iron stronger. I think, in my opinion, we're at the brink of, you know, too strong or right at the strongest that we're going to be. What we do to help launch is that power shell face, right? On the 7-iron, 6s and 5s and 4s, we use that forged face that wraps around the sole. And right now it is the largest it's ever been, meaning the longest underneath the club, in which it crumples and returns. And that causes the iron to act like a catapult, if you will. So if you hit it in the center, it still gives you more speed. If you hit it on the lower part of the face, because that's what, the way you miss it a little bit, is a little bit thin, it's going to give you speed and a little bit of launch by that face crumbling and recovering. And that's what gives us the ability to do that. And on the engineering side, for designing the rest of the iron, we're trying to put as much CG as low as possible. We know that CG of the golf ball is a certain place, and we want to be below that with our CGs. That's the easiest way to get it up in the air. And that's the way you can, that's what you have to do in order to make an iron stronger. Cause if you don't get it up in the air, then you're just rolling it to the hole. Right. So, right. And I know today, you know, a lot of people will hit 4-irons as far as you, and maybe 4-iron is the longest iron for a lot of people. Shoot, for me, it's now 5-iron, unless I play a weaker lofted 4-iron. But you know, you're making hybrids today that people can hit straighter than before. Hybrids before always seemed to go left. We have a bunch of choices in our hybrids here. We have 3 different hybrids, right? So we have the Air X, which goes left. You have the standard LTDX hybrids, which are pretty neutral with small draw bias. And then you have these Forge Tech hybrids, which are a little bit more better player setup. And they're made to be a little bit more neutral to fade. So, and you have weights on the bottom of those that you can move around. So I think your long irons, you really should be dialing in and treating them very separately from whatever else clubs, your scoring clubs now. And that's a trend.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. And the progressive sets are definitely improving. I think the idea that we can actually visually see it now helps a little bit, where you guys were doing that in Club Tech and not really telling us too loudly that we were playing a progressive set and everyone's just kind of okay with it. But, you know, that understanding as golfers get more educated on what they're actually putting in their bag is kind of a cool concept. I want to circle back, Hose, on the drivers, because it's been a pretty wild couple of years for you guys. I remember sitting in the Fishbowl, your marketing room. That's like
we have a war room up here.
Okay.
It's a 4 walls. There's nothing, nobody can see in. So you can use the language you needed to get your point across. We have the board room because there's a surfboard in there. And then we have the showroom, which is the fishbowl where all the apparel is. And we have a lot of visitors there because it's the prettiest looking room in the house, right?
So the showroom is what I was looking for. The fishbowl is what I know it as. But you guys walked through F9. And at the time, I was sitting there saying, you know, let's bring LTD back in whatever possible way you can, because it was my favorite driver from both a sound and performance perspective you have ever made. Mm-hmm. And I remember reviewing that on THP thinking like, this is the future. I'm losing my mind over here, blah, blah, blah. And then F9 comes out and you guys knock my socks off. I'm thinking, you know, kudos to you for bringing out such a strong performer in a very challenging driver market. That has changed a couple times. And now we're at LTD, which, you know, got me super excited knowing what I know about the original. How did that name come about and how much of that original design came into it?
Well, LTD is the name because it was the first ever in 2016, what you loved about it, right? Zero CGNA. It was, if you hit it in the center of the driver, it's the most speed you're going to get, the best energy transfer, the lowest spin. It was perfect, right? And true, F9 had that as well. And SZ, the smaller head, had it, and so did Rad. But the other driver, the bigger heads, never had zero CGNA. And to combine that zero CGNA with forgiveness, is something we never done until LTDX. And that's why we're calling it that. It's LTD zero CG performance with extreme, like RadSpeed XB and XD, extreme forgiveness combined with it. And that's why we utilize the name. So guys like you, who the cult following we have of that LTD, because we only made 27,000 LTDs. We shorted the market on purpose. It was our second driver. Remember, we had F7 going at the same time. F6 going at the same time. So it wasn't our mainstay driver. And when we ran out of those drivers at 27,000 units, there was this huge demand still. So we knew we had a winner, and our goal was, you know, to continue to figure out what it is that could make the next LTD. And that's why we brought the name back. It's so fitting for the performance that people are getting from it. And I think from the anecdotal stuff that we're getting, you know, because I always get excited about our stuff, but, you know, every few years I get super pumped about what our product is. And this is one of those years. I had it in 2016 with LTD. I had it with F9. And I think you guys know this year, I'm really excited about this product line and the opportunities that it opens up for us as a brand, but also for golfers. I mean, there's three really good drivers. Even the Max, LTDX Max, the CG of that driver is less than 1 millimeter. So if you're, you know, people say, well, why would you do that? Well, hey, guys who slice the ball or looking for forgiveness because they have a little bit of sideward spin, if you reduce their spin a little bit, that's less movement. So even they can benefit in a 9-degree head, because you're, if you're only using 9 degrees because you spin it a lot, right? Well, all the 9 degrees have pretty much zero CGNA across the board. The 10 and a halves have a little bit more, so that, you know, you're using 10 and a half for a reason. You need a little bit of loft. You need a little bit of launch and spin, right? And so we build those inherently into those lofts and deliver what I think is a really good spread of performance between LS, X, and Max settings that can really fit the golfers out there.
So when it comes to transitioning to a new product, and you have all these things you look back to and say, what can we bring forward, is basically what I'm getting out of that last comment, to best improve the next technology that we introduce. And is it challenging to decide what to get rid of or what to eliminate? And I'm thinking simple things like, you know, that incredible rolled over face that I called it the pop-up protector, the replacement killer. Yeah,
paint protector on your car.
Anyone could hit my driver, because it's not like they're going to hit the crown way up top. Little things like that sort of fall by the wayside as the tech improves and the concepts change. Is that challenging for you to check off the boxes of what's going to come over as or what's going to not make the cut?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have so many repeating technologies that, you know, when you talk about technology, it's only really three of them you can remember at a time. This year it is, you know, this power core and then the hot face. And then you still have this chassis that we don't talk about enough, but we talk about the first two a lot, right? Let's not forget, we still have Infinity Face, like you said, but we did take it off the top. And that was helped decided by our players who, you know, Ricky and Bryce and Alexi said, we like it. It looks okay, but sometimes it's distracting and it looks like there's a little too much loft. So that was a no-brainer for us. We were able to remove that, streamline the top edge, make it even more aerodynamic, and save a couple grams of weight to put somewhere else. That was easy. A lot of times it's harder. You know, you got Tio and I and Yagley and Doug, who's our head designer. The four of us are sitting in a room trying to argue about how much
very
cost
politely we- at that.
No, sometimes it gets violent, but yeah, mostly politely. We're like, well, what tech can we like walk away from in order to get some new tech? You know, because it all costs something. And we're trying to, as you guys all know, we deliver a driver that's a little bit less expensive than everybody else, but definitely not void of the technology. In fact, sometimes as the challenger brand, you know, number four driver, number five driver in the business, we have to deliver more than everybody else just to make sure that the performance is there and we can beat them. We need to beat people to take their share. And so we're always trying to play what do we need to keep for performance? What can we take out that we think we're going to deliver through something else? You know, so that's always a conversation.
So it's great to know that you take on that tour feedback, and I'm assuming you receive quite a bit of feedback from the average user of a golf ball as well. You know, between the events you do with THP, you guys are obviously heavily involved on the forum over there, experiencing our feedback as well. But now, I remember you showing us different types of the Infinity face, that one of them was running sideways or like across the face, and then some of them were running up and over, and you said Ricky thought that was a little too distracting and right. From an alignment standpoint, which caused you to make those transitional changes. I remember just having a conversation with you about the grind options in an iron that you were just offhand playing and experiencing, and as soon as you took it to the wheel, suddenly it became a great product. And those exciting changes, how much of that is involved in the design features, especially those visual components of the heads?
Well, first, you have the memory of an elephant. I can't believe you remember all that stuff. That's well, pretty awesome.
You know, it was an emotional time for me because you actually drove me to our meal, and it was we went fast, so
oh yeah, I did scare you that night, didn't I?
When the back tires departed the concrete for the first time, I was like, I'm in for it. I need to pay attention. So
I remember you grabbing the oh shit handle.
It was great. I loved it. Yeah.
I think, you know, all of that plays into it. You know, we pay attention to, there's a lot of people we get feedback from. Of course, our players. We're going to take feedback from them, especially on the metals, players, irons, things like that. We take feedback from Ben Showman. You know, he's the guy who works with Bryson, Lexi, Ricky. Lexi's brother's now on the PGA Tour. We have, you know, Duffner, who's on the PGA Tour for us. And they always have feedback for us. We take feedback from your group. You know, it part of what Yagley and I do with the Morgan Cup team is, you know, just sitting there and listening in and talking with you guys and seeing what piques your interest both online and even in person, and all these little things and shapes we test. I mean, in our hip bay every day, it's pretty much full for people to test. And in there are normally two driver tests, a fairway test, and a couple iron tests every day. And we're down there hitting balls and getting feedback on little things, foam pieces, grinds, a new product that just made it in, prototypes from Yagley's group that we need to see will work the way they're thinking, or will it break, or, you know, all these little things that we get to test. It's fun. You know, it's a fun part of the job, and we learn a lot. And to your point, you know, little things that we discover through just little grinds and little things about just changing the metal, all that is all part of it. And there's so many pieces to it. I wish there was just one little thing that helps us get to the end, but really there's a lot of little things that add up to what these products turn out to be.
So the prototypes you guys run, they're actually pretty interesting looking, right? There's just, in a lot of cases, it's just a bunch of metal. It's not that super sexy thing you pick off a shelf at you know, your local golf shop. No. It you had me hit one of those, and I thought it was one of the cooler things I got to do, because it's just, you're just hitting wrapped metal and you're like, oh, this is pretty sweet. What is it? You're like, I'm not telling you.
So. Yeah, all that time, the one you hit was all just titanium, right? There was no paint. There are no logos on it. It's just a shell with the technologies already built in on the inside. Yeah. And, you know, if you're not used to seeing that, it's awkward at first, but that's how you tell, you know. And then at some point you're going to need paint and stuff on it so you can see face angles and are they perfect and things like that. But, you know, when you're testing just the chassis and internal tech, you don't really need to see anything. You're just taking numbers by hitting into a hip bay, right?
I think I figured out what's going on with your hips. You're having too much fun in the hitting bay downstairs. That's a real problem. So, hey, tell me what you think about Cobra right now and the progression you've had since, let's say, F9. I feel like between the driver experience you've created, King Forge Tech, and even One Length, it just, you guys have become a different company. You've expanded in a great, great sort of way. Is that fair to say, or are you on the trajectory you expected five or six years ago?
Thank you for that. Yeah, we think we've been on an awesome trajectory. Our sales continue to grow. Now, it's easy to say that that the pandemic has helped golf. Golf is winning right now. I mean, it's hard to get tee times and it's hard to keep products in stock because more and more people are playing golf and buying clubs. That being said, in 2019 and even in 2018, you know, we started a run of growth that was pre-pandemic. And like, for example, in 2019, our company, Cobra itself, grew 31%, right? Our company grew 27%. So both Puma and Cobra were on a roll. And that trend has continued through the pandemic and into 21 and into 22. You know, our pre-books this year are great. Don't want to overstate, but they've been really good. And our parent company, Big Puma, is really happy with our trajectory of our business. The hardest thing will be this year, as you guys all know, is getting the product here on time, ready to go for the planned dates. And then if they're not on time, how much time can you make up before the season's over? Because that's going to be the biggest delays, whether it's shipping or whether it's materials or just even factory closures, because silly things like electricity or something's going on with the factory and they have to shut down for a week. That is all happening. It's the perfect storm against golf when golf is the best it's been since the mid-2000s, right?
Yeah. Yeah, finding a warehouse full of grips and shafts would probably be the best thing that could ever happen.
Well, I mean, you got stuff. You got stuff in LA. There are containers or ships that are just circling the waters or standing still, and they got to send provisions out to these guys because they can't come into the docks yet because they're waiting their turn to be unloaded.
Wow!
I got word yesterday that, you know, we have a bunch of stuff that's not checked in yet, and it's been sitting there for, you know, 6 days at our warehouse. It's just our warehouse is that busy right now. So we're excited about the growth, to your question.
Yeah, good for you.
We're humble about it. We're not saying we're doing this or that. We're reaching our goals. We have goals that we set to be by 2025, and we seem to be well on our way to reaching
good
those
for
goals.
You. Yeah, I mean, the Puma thing is very obvious. I have, I think, every single cloud spun quarter zip that's ever been made, including the one I'm rocking right now, Arnie Love for Life. I have all four colorways. So,
good for
yeah,
you.
I mean, that, yeah, I mean, it's cloud spun, right? It's the cheater clothing. It's what you're talking about in drivers is how I feel about cloud spun. I mean, it's just.
I can't believe it's not cotton, right?
It yes.
feels that good. And it's comfy to wear. And you can wear it all day. I mean, one of the things about cloud spun that we talk about, it's that type of material that you can wear at the golf course if you want. But if you're just going out for dinner or whatever, I mean, it's so comfortable. You could wear it for that. Or heaven forbid, you go out with your boys, you hit up lunch, play golf, and head out to dinner. You could be wearing the same shirt. It's that comfortable, right? And you're not going to have the funk and the wrinkles and the swamp ass that you would get if you're wearing cotton. Okay. So,
is there a product you're most excited about this year from an apparel standpoint? I mean, you're more in the I want to wear it side of things and the I'm going to design it side of things, if I'm correct. But obviously, you get a little involved because that's what you rep when you are repping anything. Is there something you're excited about on your side?
Well, you know, there's so many great collections and it's hard to pick. You know, the API, the Arnold Palmer collection is really cool. The Volition stuff coming this year, super cool. And, you know, we have two materials, right? We have cloud spun, which is the most comfortable and greatest thing to wear. If you play in heat, like I love to go to Palm Springs and play in the heat, and it's 110, 105. We have this other material, Matter,
yep.
That is so thin and so smooth and comfortable to wear in the heat because its moisture wicking properties are awesome. I have my collection of clothing. And by the way, I'm at the point now where it's like, if I bring one home, my wife makes me actually take one out before I put it in the closet. It's crazy. And so I trade them in and out, and I have a collection of cloud spun, and especially outerwear is going to be cloud spun. And then I have Matter stuff. And then let's not forget the EGW, excellent golf wear stuff. That is like the coolest, you know, it's on trend, thin material with hoodies, and you it just looks so good. I mean, I'm very lucky. I mean, I could be at some place that's made with shirts that are way too long for me and way too wide for me. And I happen to be in a place that, you know, the clothing fits awesome and feels good. So,
well, let's talk just a tiny bit about shoes, because I mean, Puma, the identity there is obvious. You guys have a new product that just came out called Alpha Cat. And I've been a big proponent of the ProAdapt Deltas. I actually have two pair here. One that I got told looked like it got dropped in the washing machine with a bunch of crayons, which I'm very excited about, for the record.
Cool.
And the one that the latest AP Arnold Palmer ones. So those were going to be like my absolutes for this year. And then you guys brought out Alpha Cat, which looks like the most bulletproof type of shoe going in any kind of condition. Am I wrong there? Is that Alpha Cat in a nutshell?
I've been wearing Alpha Cat for a while now, because, you know, it actually launched in Asia earlier this year. I was part of the testing panel for Asia sizing, right? So I've been wearing them, and I got to tell you, for those of you who may think like, oh, how can I wear a spikeless shoe? I need spikes. This Alpha Cat traction is ridiculous. I've never felt so comfortable wearing a spikeless shoe on the golf course. And you're thinking about it right now. It's the winter time here for what winter we have in California.
Yeah.
But it is moist and wet in the morning, and they're, you know, they water the grass. It's great. I love it. It's comfortable. It's waterproof like crazy, because there's a great coating on it. And the footbed of it, the way your foot feels when it's inside the shoe, the comfort level, like I always thought, the ProAdapt Deltas are the most comfortable leather upper, greatest shoes that we ever made. I put these on, I'm like, hey now.
So the one big question everyone on the forum had was, how easy are they to maintain from a cleaning perspective? Are they basically a wipe clean? Is that it?
Yeah, it's a wipe clean. I mean, you may have to put a spray of cleaner on if you're playing mud and you let it dry. I mean, but after your round of golf, we're supposed to, right? Take our wet towel, wipe down our shoes, use the air thing and wipe off, I mean, spray off all the grass. If you do that, I mean, my shoes are immaculate still. And I've been wearing, you know, I like to walk, beat up my hip a little bit.
At 36 a day. Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
But I think they're, I mean, you remember the other shoes that we had, the mesh, it was a little, it would catch dirt a little bit.
Yeah.
Not going to happen to these.
Wow.
These Alpha Cats are all that. You guys got to try them.
What a name too. Alpha Cat. I love it.
Meet the Alpha, right? I mean, it is. It's a great name.
I know you're crunched for time here. At the end of every episode, I give the opportunity for my guests to ask me any questions they might have. Put me on the hot seat a little bit, because I've been blasting you for about 40 minutes now. You have anything for me, Hose?
So, Dan, you know, Hackers lost a couple times. And I have to ask you, you know, honestly, I know you seem like you're still loyal to the Hackers team, and I have ultimate respect for the Hackers, but I'm going to ask you this, and I hope it doesn't fire up the team, but what do you think the chances are this year? Cause you know, when JDAX always gives the odds, we're always on the bad side of the odds, the Paradise side, you know, I mean, it's always like, oh, they don't have a chance. And that kind of fuels us. I'm wondering, when you guys get up there and do your odds thing, how fair is it going to be this year? What do you think our odds are?
Yeah, I don't know. I like to see the teams come together and then find ways to make Team Hackers seem like they're unbeatable. I had way too much fun doing that last year, basically, you know, throwing you guys under the bus in every single match. I had so much fun doing those preview shows. But I made it pretty clear, Hose, and you can take this one to the bank, buddy. My allegiance is only as long as and as far as I'm on a certain team. So if I get on Team Paradise, I mean, you guys are going to dominate. So,
that's my second question.
Just keep that in mind. Yeah.
If Team Paradise came up a person short because somebody had to bow out, I mean, the first thing that we would do is ask, you know, an internal person, somebody already has some Cobra stuff possibly to sub in. And would you do that? I think you're going to set yourself up here for a lot of IMs, guys saying, what the heck? You'd go over there?
You know what? I've already said it on the forum. I'll say it here again. It's the Morgan Cup, man. If you can get on a team, it doesn't matter what it is. And I would gladly partner with you any day and put the Yags story to bed for the old 3 and 4. I mean, it would be the ultimate, right? You'd win on both sides. You're that guy. You've done it both sides. So
I was going to say, I mean, you're wearing a Paradise colorway today.
Yeah.
And
it's
the
P for Paradise. Yeah.
P for Paradise. So, hey, Team Paradise, look at this. Canada Dan just being the kindest host he can be to a Paradise member.
It was the ultimate savagery. Putting me on Team Hackers and making your team blue. That was, Canada and blue is, it's a thing. It's a real thing. So I think you've been building up for this for years. You're welcome to announce that I'm going to be, I've denounced Jeremy JD Talks into sub-captaincy and I'll just take over the team. That's fine.
That's not coming out of my mouth. I love my captain and I'm most loyal. As you know, I'm very loyal. I'm going to bleed blue the rest of my life. So
you have anything else for me, Hose?
No, it's except for thanks. And thanks to all of you guys out there who are listening in or watching. It's always great to be on this show and to support the threads that I'm on and with that I'm not even on. It's great watching and great being part of this group. So thank you.
I know you guys are paying close attention. Looking forward to seeing the additional signups for the Morgan Cup. If you're not familiar, if you're just a listener, not a THPer, it is an unbelievable experience that Cobra and THP put on every year. Full bag of equipment. You play on golf courses you wouldn't normally get to play on. You put up with Hose beating you up a little bit on the golf course, unless you're on his team, and then he just picks you up and treats you like the king that you are. You check it out. And Hose, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for doing everything you do, and good luck to you guys this year.
Thanks, everyone. And Dan, let's get back on so I can tell you about all these prototype irons when it gets closer.
Absolutely. We'll have you back on to chat about those for sure. If you are playing golf this weekend out there, have a great time, have fun with it, and go hit some Cobra.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.